accession number 14968, Reel 3.
Mr. Adams, Reel 3.
I suppose at the early part of the war, when you felt he's doing all this to us, they're doing this to us, why aren't we why don't we get our own back? Let's go and give them a pasting. This was when you felt it. You wanted to do, or wanted the nation to do something. But I do remember listening to Winston Churchill's speeches. Lovely words, and so invigorating to the nation. I loved listening to him, as everybody else did. And, as I say, when the war developed, after the V1s and the V2s and the invasion, and things started happening, we then seemed to grow taller. We were getting our own back. The guy was now getting a taste of what he'd been dishing out. And about time too, sort of thing. That was the feeling, yeah. We are now giving him some to think about. And let's not stop. Remember what he done to us early on. Now it's his turn. And how'd you like them apples, buddy? You know, you got that off the Americans who were here.
Did you see anything of Americans or foreigners, foreign troops in your area?
Not in our area. Only when we used to go over the park, you know, Victoria Park. Americans were over there, gunners mainly. I didn't know any air crews because they were out at North Weld and North Holt and places like that. We used to go out there on our bikes for bike rides and we could see the air bases. And used to look for the American aircraft, like the Lightning with the twin booms and the Typhoon and the Tempest we looked for. And then the North American Mustang was the aircraft that took my eye. We used to go and see them at North Weld, yes. That's the only time we came across them. And we knew that the Polish troops and some Polish people were here as well because we saw them in the West End when we went up there, when we used to take a chance to go up the West End.
How did you personally regard the Americans, Poles and other foreigners about the...
They were helping us. That was good. That's all I knew, or that's all I could think of at that time. They were on our side, yes.
Did you have any personal contact with them, like getting presents from them or anything of that kind?
No. If you went up the West End, as we did as lads, if you saw an American, it was the thing, I suppose, everyone got any gum chum. It was the password to become a friend, and they both tried to give you a stick of chewing gum, yes. But I didn't have any personal friends, no.
Is it possible to say something about the geographical spread of the bombing, coming back to that again? Did you feel that your area, Dalston, was getting bombed more or less than areas round about? Or were there areas nearby which you said, oh, they got it worse than ours, or they're not getting very much of it?
Only by what people would tell you, or you heard on the news broadcast, or you read in the papers. We knew that South London also was getting a good bombing, and the city was having a bad time. But we all felt that, I don't know why, I suppose you felt it because this is where we live, that we seem to be taking the brunt of it. But we do know that the other places did get bombed, of course, along the River Thames, and one can only assume that they were after particular sites. Well, that made you wonder when you saw some of the things that got hit. But we did feel they were after particular sites, like the London docks, perhaps, and the bridges, the railway stations. Perhaps they went after Westminster. We don't know. But we felt that North and East London did get rather a heavy bombing, yes.
Was there any sense that there were some areas that more or less got off scot-free?
I don't recall that. I don't recall thinking that the areas did get off scot-free. I think it was, again, it was, what did the German bombers or pilots know? They knew it was London and it was separated by the river, and each side of that river was London, and they were sent to bomb it. when they didn't fly very far upriver before they turned, unless they created a target such as Oxford. They didn't fly up the Thames, as I say, they flew up the estuary, done their business and went. So that's why I think the bombing kind of petered out towards, what, Richmond, Tame, Kingston. They didn't fly any further because, again, the aircraft was controlled by its fuel. How far could it fly before it had to turn round? It's got to get back. That is why I think that London was predominantly bombed from the estuary inwards up to and around about the city beyond Westminster, and then it swept out to right across the city, which brings you out towards Edgware, Finchley, the last remnants for the German pilot to get out and get back because of limited fuel.
Was there any sense that the better off people were getting off scot-free?
I'm afraid I don't know many people who were considered to be better off, because if they were, they most likely had the money or the contacts to not be there. They'd perhaps gone. They'd evacuated themselves, perhaps to relatives who lived up country somewhere.
Do you know of any people in your Dalston area who had, as it were, fled into the countryside?
No, I didn't. No, we were a close-knit... Tredderham Road was a very close-knit community with all the lads. There was 11 or 12 of us, all boys, all mates, all went to the schools and the families that lived there. We were very close-knit, and none of them went away. Not that I recall.
When you think back on the war and the bombing, did it seem to be one continuous period of bombing, or does it fit into certain periods of, well, this was a heavy period, and then there was a respite, and then there was another heavy period? Do you think of it like that, or is it just one continuous memory of continuous bombing?
No, it was in segments. Yeah, it was pieces of activity. The Blitz that went on, it started... It seemed to me to get very, very heavy. And then slowly, but over a long period of time, it kind of petered out. So that was one phase. And then we had the next phase, which was the V1 bit with the Zulu bugs. And then the next phase was the V2 bit. But in between all this, you were still trying to get your education, keep your friends, put things together, help people, do things. You were much more industrious. I can recall finding pieces of bicycles, mending them, putting them together, and giving them to kids who hadn't got bikes. I suppose you found bits of bikes on the bomb site areas where the devastation was. Or we used to go down Petticoat Lane and buy bits of bikes off the guys in the bike market and put bikes together. You were being industrious. My father taught me my father was teaching me carpentry, so I took it up at school. And the reason I took it up at school is because I saw our table and chairs and cabinets smashed up. And you would learn to build things. So you learnt to make things like tables and chairs and stools and boxes to put things in. And you became industrious, you were busy.
Was your particular area of Dalston all what you might call English people, or were there people of different backgrounds?
Oh no, all Londoners. All Londoners, the whole street. There was, I don't recall hearing another accent down there. I mean, I could go round the street with all the names and all the boys, all my mates. No, we were all Londoners.
But would you get Jewish communities? Or?
No, the Jewish community seemed to be at Stamford Hill. They congregated there. And Aldgate, of course, because Aldgate, I know now, but in the late 30s and the early part of the war, Aldgate was a big Jewish area because that's where a load of the people did their tailoring. The Jewish people were very big in tailoring. And it seems strange that Stamford Hill also was a big Jewish area. I suppose a family would move there and they would kind of congregate. And that is an area where the Jewish people lived.
Were there any black people at that time in Dalston?
I don't recall seeing coloured people, no.
Do you have any VE Day or VJ Day memory of your own?
Yes. When the war ended, VE Day, Victory in Europe, there was a massive street party, of course. Everyone went barmy. We realised the Japanese thing was still going on. But I do recall, again, the boys in the street. We went to Trafalgar Square. And I think we were up there all day and well into the night. And we were only kids. And we were in Trafalgar Square the second night after. And it was a party going on. There was lots of people and lots of, I remember lots of soldiers, Americans and English and sailors and girls and dancing and singing. And we went to Trafalgar Square, yeah. That was on the second after it was announced, the second day.
Anything special that happened there?
No, I recall being in Trafalgar Square. I can remember being in Trafalgar Square because the base of Nelson's Column was all boarded up. It was planked up. I suppose to protect it from the bombing. Fountains had no water in, of course, and they were all covered over, weren't they? But I can remember being in Trafalgar Square with all my friends from down the street. And we came out of Trafalgar Square. We went a little way down Whitehall and then came back and went down the Strand. And we wended our way back down the Strand to Liverpool Street and got a number 6 bus home. I can remember that. That was our celebration of the war being over. I remember the Japanese bit still going on. And I do remember about the bombs that were dropped. I remember the Americans fighting their way across the Pacific. All these names came to mind. But it wasn't as big as us because it was further away, wasn't it? But I do recall this bomb being dropped in Japan and someone saying, well, they didn't know when they were finished, this will finish it. And then a second one was dropped. Of course, the names became off the tongue, they tripped off the tongue afterwards. One could suddenly learn these Japanese names. Like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that did it. And then, of course, you got VJ. I don't recall doing anything big then. The thing I wanted to see was the Victory Parade. And I remember going to Kingsland Road and sitting on a wall outside a factory with my mate and we watched the Victory Parade. It was all the troops and tanks and landing craft and there was a fly past and it was the Victory Parade. I remember that clearly, sitting in Hackney Road watching it, various tanks, and it was flag waving and banners and people cheering, and it was one continual round of applause, if I remember rightly. Just people didn't stop clapping as these things went by, tanks and half tracks and jeeps and Duck, as they were called, the landing craft, the UKWs, and aircraft were being towed a lot. You had a fuselage of aircraft on lorries, and there was a flypast. Yeah, I remember the Victory Parade very clearly.
Did that election, general election in 45, leave you with any memories?
I don't remember that. No. What would I be then?
13.
No, it had no significance to me then, the election, no.
What was a Molotov breadbasket?
As I understood it, it was a large canister bomb. It must have been 2 or 3 foot in diameter, and perhaps 3 or 4 foot long. And this thing was full of incendiary or petrol bombs. And it was known colloquially as a Molotov breadbasket. because it seemed to be dropped, and at a certain point it would open and all these incendiaries would come out in different directions, or it would hit the ground and throw them in different directions all over the place. And I don't know why it got the contract of Molotov, but I remember its nickname being called a Molotov breadbasket. I distinctly remember that. And then, of course, the other thing was the aerial torpedo, wasn't there? That was another bomb that was used.
What was that?
I never quite knew, because my understanding of a torpedo was a thing that was dropped from a Swordfish aircraft into the sea, and it tracked its way through the sea. Unless this aerial torpedo was a long, thin, deep-penetrating bomb. These are the bombs you remember. You hear the names of the incendiary, the 5,000-pounder, and the breadbasket, as I say, the aerial torpedo, the landmine. These were the bombs that we knew existed. And we knew they were HE, and that was high explosive. Yeah, that's it.